Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, and Mr. Newbie. Before we make a start on your email, so that's new.
Yeah, yes, I know.
New content. Well, no, not really, just in a different place.
Order.
Okay, never any new content. Let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week was brought to you by situations that could have been entirely prevented had the person involved just said a very simple thing. Like, this is my boyfriend, for example. Or, I'll just unblock the drain and we can have an argument later inside when it's not raining. We began the week with, well, as a listener pointed out, we spent the whole of last podcast whinging that nothing happened and then everything happened all at once. So that was probably our fault. Sorry, everybody. So actually, we began the week with what started like the apocalypse. David and Ruth were heading for the Licky Bits, being very snobbish about Vince's house. Oh, how funny. Vince's house will be all warm and comfortable, won't it? How very common. They were so snooty, I wasn't at all sorry that they flattened Bambi on their way home. Well, I was sorry about Bambi, but not that they hurt themselves, the horrors. And the only other bit I was sorry about was that it wasn't Pip they hit as they were backing up to run over Josh. As if either of those two wastes of good skin used the time they spent telling each other how busy they were in actually unblocking that bloody drain, then the episode would have been a lot brisker. I have to say, though, hats off to Borchester General. Bloody marvellous. Through the doors, assessed, patched up and prescribed all in 3.5 hours. If that was real life, they'd still be hopping about now in A&E, trying to get the coffee machine to work and listening to an old man wearing a carrier bag tell everyone about the sponges in his head. David and Ruth took some time to accustom themselves to not wearing wellies inside the house for once. Ruth remembered, for instance, she hadn't had a bath since Ben was born. But most of the village could have reminded her of that. And David forgot how stairs worked, so he just sat halfway up like Kermit. Iris Casey turned up and pissed Jill right off and encouraged Leonard when he wanted to show her his penis. Although, if Jill had wanted to put Iris off, she could have just described herself as his girlfriend, partner, significant other, anything other than friend. She would then have cock-blocked Iris, and that would have been that. One of the cows at Brookfield had a little lie down, and both Pip and Josh went berserk, rang Alistair, and then made the poor thing do forward rolls, which I'm sure wasn't good for her, before Alistair thwacked her over the head with a flapjack and pulled her leg off. Elizabeth adopted the usual practice in a crisis, which is to go up to the attic at Lower Loxley. She found another bloody board game, this one involving mouldy plasticine. Presumably it was behind the holbein and next to the medieval jousting equipment. Surprise, surprise, Shula turned out to be one of those people who has to tell everyone what colour counters they have to be. But then she sang We Are the Champions with Elizabeth and then chanted Sisters Beat Brothers and I had to pull my own ears off, so I'm not sure what happened after that. Thursday's episode was just about a takeaway. That was it, really. I mean, if you really want to know, Alistair had a kebab, Ruth had a chow mein, Pip had a curry and David ate the polystyrene containers thinking they were poppadoms. Jill and Leonard were a bit coy and giggly and Pip and Josh seemed to have come to a rapprochement and agreed that they can share the farm together, maybe, or that whatever they do in 15 years' time, it won't be a total shit show. It will, though, won't it? Just because you've had a can of lager and a samosa doesn't make you the Waltons. Anyway, the upshot of the whole car crash thing was that they should get rid of all the other Brookfield children, keep Ben, and adopt Leonard and his breakfasts. That's it. Everyone else can go. Thank you. Off you pop. Take your You can't just throw food for chickens. Yes, you can. And your, I wish I had some sort of plan for who is going to look after my child. And you can even take your, I just want what's best for them, but only if that's what's best for me too, from a 91-year-old who really should know better. Don't let the Brookfield door hit you on the arse on your way out. Thanking you, the end.
I think Beth could be adopted.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, she was all right. Squeeze her in. She's nice.
And she's one of the few people who I've actually heard Jill apologise to.
Yes. No, that's what I like about her. Mm. She doesn't take any shit from anyone, really.
Nope.
But in a gentle way.
Yep.
In a kindly way.
Yep. Yep.
She was like, don't throw that flapjack at my gran.
Yep.
Quite. It's funny, though, wasn't it? Because on Sunday, I was like, oh my God. You know, like, it had been such a non-week. And then because of Sunday, we were like, oh, that's why it was a...
Yes.
You know, sort of, now this is so exciting. I was literally on the edge of my seat.
I was really looking forward to Monday, thinking, who's dead?
Yes, me too. It was...
Well, we made plans, didn't we? We made plans for people dying.
But I don't know how it got into all of our heads that Ruth was dead, or David, one of them was definitely going to die, or a child, or Pitt, you know, somebody was going to die. And then it was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
Even on the Monday, because I was so het up about it. And then I was like, you know that thing of like, you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Yeah.
And I spent all my time slagging Ruth off. And then I was like... to Rufus, I was like, I can't believe it. They've literally ripped out one of the best characters in the whole of the Archers.
She's my best voice and she's gone.
Yeah, I was sort of, you know, like planning my retirement sort of monologues for Ruth and, you know, doing
It's
all
fine
sorts.
Though, you know, Fabrice would have just had seances and she would have come in as a, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I was planning, you know, the ghost of Ruth.
Yeah.
Could have had a Ruth and Nigel sort of
episode. Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah, it would have been nice. But anyway, so there were opportunities to be had. But then, so, you know, she became my best friend again.
Mm.
And then when she was like, oh, I just hurt my neck, I was like, oh, come on. No. But because of that, then all the Monday episode, I was like, okay, well, obviously, because, you know, Rosie, we haven't heard where Rosie is and they don't know what they hit. They said it was a deer, but clearly it was Rosie. And there's going to be another terrible turn of events. Nothing. It actually was a deer. I mean, it was just not, there just wasn't a story after all.
No. And there continued to not be a story for the next 5 sodding days.
I know. I got punched in the face. Quite right.
By an airbag. Yeah. By Ruth, we all want to punch you in the face now. We found out you're not dead.
But it was weird because I was thinking, like, why as a scriptwriter, wouldn't you at least go, oh, well, we could like eke this out a bit because, you know, everyone's suddenly so engaged in this dramatic storyline. They could have put her in a coma for 3 days, couldn't they?
Ruthie in a coma, I know.
But why was that? It felt like it was wasted.
I think it was a reestablishment of the Archer dynasty week. It was a putting them back at the heart of the village again. Reminding everybody how important they are, reminding everybody who's related. There was lots of, you know, Kenton comes round, Shula comes round, Elizabeth comes round. It's sort of...
Despite all of that, all they needed to have done was done... What would have been great was... I would have put her in a coma and then for Ben's, you know, and then Ben's first day at work is like treating his mum and it's, you know...
Blimey, you should write for Holby City or something. That's
But why couldn't this week have been... Yeah. I was so excited on the Sunday that something dramatic had happened and it really got me emotional. And then it was such a bloody anticlimax. And I was genuinely really disappointed.
I think the dramatic thing will be that Ruth and David realise that they can retire and they will.
But who cares? I don't care.
No.
I really don't care. I don't care if... Pip and Josh are so unlikable.
Yeah.
That who gives a flying fiesta who takes over the farm?
Although
so
Josh did prove himself to be slightly less of a knob end than we thought.
Well, Pip, he's actually of the two.
Mm.
Because Pip is the moaniest little...
Yeah. Proper moany little madam, isn't she?
And then it's like, I just thought I was going to get a cosy night in bedtime story with Rosie. Have a glass of wine, get an early... I was like, we all... If you choose to have children and have a job, that's your life, Pip.
Look at you. You're sat in the shed wearing one willy. Yes,
I would love to have a bedtime where I'm not rushing it and going, no, you can't have any more stories because I've got work to do.
Yeah.
And who, you know, like, God, Pip, you're a farmer. You're also get some, I don't know, sort some childcare out or something. Or if you know that Rex or whatever the father of your child is called is going to be away for a week, just be aware that it's going to be a really busy week because you're a single mum that week.
Yeah.
So, I know in the heat of the moment, I'd be the same. I would have been like, eh, nobody ever helps me, But surely you work for the farm.
Yeah.
You're the employee. Josh has his own business.
She even said, when lovely Leonard said, we'll pick up Rosie, Pip, she sort of went, really?
I thought,
what was your plan then? Did you not have one? Was she going to walk? What's it, you know?
In all this
Uber,
time.
Maybe?
In all this time, Leonard nor Josh has ever picked up Rosie. It just seems bizarre.
Yeah.
If I had all my siblings and grandparents around me, I they'd all be doing pickups. You know,
and also, nobody at nursery knows whether your child has done a poo or not, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
As long as they didn't do it, like, on the carpet in the middle of assembly.
Pip will be one of those really annoying
moms. She will, won't she?
That basically gets a breakdown of stools.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
Would it be possible? Would it be possible to just do a little picture? Just a little picture. You could just WhatsApp it to me really, really quickly.
Rosie is really good at farting. How many farts has she done today? And then there was that weird farty Lair's story.
Yes.
That was weird.
Wasn't it? Just had such a peculiar mental picture of a woman in her 30s sticking her elbows out.
Josh, do the sound effects in the walk.
Basically doing like the chicken dance across the sitting room, farting.
But they've inherited it from their mother because Ruth finds it. There was like a, what was it? She was like. It's just a bit of fun, David. you forget that she finds everything hilarious.
Yes.
Ruth does. Everything. She was like, who's going to take over the farm? Is it going to be Josh, Pip, or blah? And then David was like, oh, and she was like, oh, it's just a bit of fun, David. And I was like, oh, God, your and David's idea of fun.
Yeah.
And they've passed that down to the children. They
never
leave the farm.
No.
Yeah. They don't interact with other people, so they don't really understand.
They're a cult. You're describing
a
cult.
They are. They're like a sort of...
But so is Bridge Farm. Bridge Farm is a cult as well.
Because David and Ruth had obviously literally hadn't stepped across the threshold.
No, they got all giddy and excited, didn't they?
Yes.
Standing on carpet. They didn't seem to understand that you were allowed to stand on carpet.
David and the prawns made me laugh because you could tell that all he was doing was like standing by the tray of prawns and shells, just sort of like taking them and then probably like chucking the shells, putting them in his pocket
shells and throwing the prawns away.
Yeah. And then on their way out, he would have just got a napkin and put a few more prawns in there for his journey home. I really enjoyed the party episode because it's so nice when they're not in their normal environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really loved that.
And I was slightly disappointed that Vince's house wasn't quite as trashy as they were expecting. I was hoping that there was going to be
David.
Like a pink fountain somewhere or something.
Well, there was a hot tub. You know, I mean, it sounded amazing and it clearly had amazing views of Licky Hills got me confused. I was like, is that just Iris's way of saying Lakey Hill? Didn't that not confuse you?
I think it was an instruction from Iris, actually, to Leonard.
That was excellent.
Something quite unfortunate has happened with the acting in that Jill suddenly sounds a lot older than Leonard.
I know. That really struck me this week. Do you remember when we first heard her being old? Was at that harvest supper, wasn't it? And we were both really shocked.
Yeah.
And I felt the same. I felt like Leonard was sort of talking to his mum this week. there was a dis. There was
yeah.
It really was. It's sort of heartbreaking, isn't it? Because obviously, Jill, the actor, must be well into her 90s or early 90s.
I think she plays older. Actually, I think she's. Oh. I think she's not 90 yet.
Oh, okay, okay. But she sound. But then maybe Leonard in real life is only 65, 70. Mm. But yeah, Jill's definitely got more wobble in her voice, hasn't she?
And yeah.
But, you know, still is. I love it when she plays sort of grumpy, feisty.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, no, grumpy Jill is great. Yeah. I like her a lot.
Yeah. But I did also feel, yeah, that their ages were a bit uneven this week.
Because Leonard and Iris sounded much better matched.
Well, they've got the energy, haven't they? Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah.
And that sort of quirkiness as well. Mm. And yeah, so, but I didn't mind Jill calling Leonard my friend because I wonder what their relationship is. Like, you never hear them kiss or, like, do they have a sort of physical relationship?
Well, they share a room, don't they? Because David was all woo about it, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they
when
do
he
have
stayed
a
over, he was worried.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Yeah, and I suppose she just doesn't know what to call him yet because...
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose maybe she feels uncomfortable saying boyfriend, partner. Yeah.
Mm.
But it's okay to just be your friend. Like, I mean...
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, I think unless you think there's someone else around who might be keen to know what the status is.
Even if she'd said boyfriend. I mean, Iris definitely would have had a play for Leonard anyway.
Yeah, oh, that's true, yeah.
She's no wallflower, one. That was really funny about the bonsais, didn't you think? or did you cringe?
It was okay.
Oh, I thought it was cute. Well, because anything Leonard does, and Iris as well, she's a great character.
Mm.
She's, you know, they've both got a really fun energy, haven't they?
I hope we keep Iris and Beth. I like both of them.
Yeah, I think we will, definitely. I think Iris will be in it. I think she'll become...
My God, though, they're painting Ben like the Second Coming.
Oh,
he's just,
God.
You know, which is making me think, oh, God, at what point is he going to develop a massive, you know, cocaine habit or something?
He's only been there for 4 days.
Who? Where?
Ben.
At the hospital.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I mean, you had Beth saying, oh, Josh said you were really good, looking after mum and dad. And,
yeah, no, that's what I mean. I mean, he's, yeah, it's just give it time.
Yeah, and do people feel, yeah, people feel, you're one of those people that people feel better around. And.
But then Ben does have a nice, unlike Josh and Pippa, but I think that's not their fault.
I think, you know, in the land of the blind and all that. You know, if you're the normal sibling compared with those two horrors, then you are going to look pretty amazing, aren't you?
Yeah, compared to those two. And I thought Josh came off a lot better than Pip this week, actually.
Yeah, because not a compassionate bone in that woman's body.
No, but also, what's the situation re-employment? Like, has Josh opted out of working for the farm? Or... Does he work for the farm the same as Pip, but also have a business on the side? That's what I couldn't understand.
I think
what
so.
What do they get in return? Do they get a salary?
Well, she's a stock woman, isn't she? So she gets paid that salary.
She's a stock woman. She Lucy.
like a stock
come
photo.
On stock.
It's her looking visionary, staring out. Yes. So she's like she's employed to look after the herd, as far as I know. He doesn't have an official role, which is why he's allowed to do his chickens, because that gives him a salary.
Yeah, it's all a bit confusing, actually, isn't it?
But when she's... I sort of thought she was being sarcastic when she said to him, oh, sometimes I really admire you, you've really got yourself together. I mean, you know, you've got the chickens. And I laughed. And then I thought, oh, no, actually, no, it's probably a very serious business, yes.
And I've got Rosie. We went to Borchester to bounce. Yeah, actually, did you have a nice time? Actually, it's like normal experiences are so novel for Pip, isn't it?
And then I went to a supermarket.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like Jeremy Clarkson. Everything comes as an enormous surprise and, you know.
With big emphasis on everything. Because if someone said, did you have a nice time on your day off? You'd go, yeah, no, it was good, actually. But not, actually, It was, but Rosie was pretending to be a big fart, jumping every, and you just, I don't know, it's a bit, she's a funny old
maybe
bird.
Living in a farm, a big family living in a farm together automatically becomes a cult. Maybe that's
they
the situation.
Are a cult. They are a cult.
But the Bridge Farm people are a cult.
Rosie is going to be the one that breaks free.
You reckon?
Yeah, because she's sort of going to grow up.
Well, at least she's got fair brethren blood in her.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be a wrong one then, isn't she? She's going to be pregnant at 15. With, who could be the dad?
Alistair.
No, it'll be one of Helen's boys.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It'll be, and then Rob will come in and sort of send the baby away to boarding school. Oh, it'll just get all icky mucky.
Icky mucky. Yucky. Fabulous. Icky, mucky. Bring on the icky muck. That's what I say.
Oh, but in the meantime, I'm just going to sit in front of a fire and play board games. What was that?
Oh my God.
What was that to make us
hate them all.
I didn't hate them.
I hated
all.
Them.
I didn't, because I actually quite like it when they get together. But I couldn't understand if I when I listened again, I was like, oh, they're playing because this is going to become the night of the bull, or the Valentine's night is going to end up being like some sort of plasticine free-for-all. I don't know. I thought there must be some link, but there wasn't.
Do you know, one of the things I most admire about you, Harriet Carmichael, is your persistent search for a point.
There has to be a point.
You
surely.
Are unremitting in your desire for there to be a purpose for all this drivel that we sit through every week.
But there must be. There must be. Like,
but what if there isn't, though? Because there isn't.
Well, what were they doing then? What were they doing?
Filling up 13 and a half minutes. That's what they
David,
were doing.
David, come on, David. We are the champions. Come on, Shula, join in. We are
It was Shula going, sisters beat brothers. Oh,
sisters God. Sisters beat brothers. And then it was like tumbleweed. Just sort of like, and Elizabeth like, we are the champions. Just sort of like, you could tell her heart was not in that.
Do you remember there used to be at my primary school?
Did you board games on the last day of term?
No.
Oh, we did.
We were allowed to play in the field on the last play of term.
They shut you out.
All the yes, maybe that was just code for they won't let us back in.
Come back in 5 hours, children, and don't speak to that dodgy naked man by the tree.
There was a group that used to be groups of girls, or the very, very bossy girls. And they used to link arms and march around the playground singing, we hate boys, we hate boys, we hate boys. Or boys are poo, or whatever.
Yeah.
And
been there.
And it was you, wasn't it? You were one of those girls, yeah. Little blonde pigtails flapping. And the boys couldn't give a toss. They were blissfully ignorant of this.
Playing football.
They couldn't. Or
The girls did it to get their attention.
Yeah, and the boys just completely ignored them. Yeah. And Shula would absolutely have been one of those girls.
Yeah, she would.
And not understand why actually they didn't.
She's a grown-up schoolgirl, isn't
she? Yeah, she is.
Really?
She's like sort of Joyce Grenfell, but not as appealing.
Yeah, she's like head girl, isn't she?
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, boys.
But I don't mind. I quite like it when the old archers get back together. Because actually, maybe you're right. Maybe it was just a sort of every so often. But they did it at the Harvest Supper as well, didn't they? They had a scene where the siblings got together, which I really enjoyed. And I quite like, I actually think that those actors have a very good rapport anyway. And I think there's good chemistry between them. So even if they're playing with plasticine, it's still quite enjoyable. I think when they laugh with each other, especially Lizzie and David, I think they have a really nice natural chemistry.
It's actually Shula just sticks out like a sore flipping thumb.
Because Kenton is also very good and natural.
It's not that she's not a good actor.
She is shulering
away like mad. It's just
no
the character.
No one could do Shula like Shula does. or whatever the actor's name is. No. But yeah, but then that's okay, because that's probably the way it would be in the sibling. You know, you can tell there's always one they obviously all find Shula like an irritating, bossy older sister anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought it was quite, again, a bit sort of bittersweet when Jill was like, oh, they didn't wake me up.
Yeah.
And, you know, my heart, again, I wondered, maybe this was a sort of week where there are signs that things are going to change. You're right.
Okay.
You know, Jill's not going to be around forever.
Yeah.
Leonard's got a new girlfriend lined up.
I wonder if she's going to retire.
Jill? Oh,
Paddy.
The actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bit of sort of, you know,
passing on to the next generation stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah, beans on toast over chicken soup. Yeah. Also, how rude is it not to like eat a takeaway with the person that's bought it for you?
Yes.
Oh my God, I thought that was so rude.
And also, when someone offers to make you something lovely, like chicken soup, to say no, I'd rather have something else. You just say, thank you very much. Yes, I would love
they
that. Thank you.
Such a bunch of entitled brats.
I know. Well, that's where Pip gets it from, isn't it?
I mean, but also, like, if Rosie's asleep, why don't you just all go and eat it around Pip's house?
Yeah.
I found that. I was very shocked at that, actually.
Pip probably hasn't got any chairs or anything, has she? She probably, like, sits on...
But they could have, like,
a deck
chair
or something.
Kitchen picnic, couldn't they? Let's have a bedroom picnic, then. Yeah.
Chinese takeaway.
What that means.
Cartons.
Leonard was really tickled by that. Also, smelly.
Iris, would you like a bedroom picnic with me? Would you, Iris?
But stinky. Oh, I couldn't stop thinking about how disgusting his room would smell after that takeaway either.
Yeah.
Blech. Anyway.
Yes. Teenagers' rooms always do, though. No matter. They can be the cleanest teenagers in the world, and somehow they just give off stink. I don't know what it is.
And that, I suppose the curry will mask the smell of hormones.
Should we do some emailers? Okay, this is from, we have got, this is the, you know, people call us different things.
Oh, and like then I've got a joke. Should I tell you my joke quickly?
Yeah, go on.
Don't worry, Lucy. Luckily, I've just checked my notes and I wrote it down.
Okay.
See if this works.
Okay.
You can always cut it out. Hang on, sorry. Oh, what did Ruth say when David complained he couldn't see through the car windscreen?
Oh, dear.
It's just a bit of rain, dear.
Very good.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You should have saved that for the crackers next year.
Oh, I know. Don't worry, I'm going to save them. I've got a new file for that. Oh, Cracker Jokes God, 2022.
Okay, yes. Brilliant. Yeah. You know, we get called things like tenor ladies and all that.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot. Well, we're now. Steve Parrott has now started calling us. He says, hello, you three rapscallions.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
I think he's used that before.
Has he? Well, I like it a lot.
I like rapscallion.
He says, my favourite bit of the podcast is the encore, the bit after the play out music, which was fab this week. Hugs and kisses, Steve. It was fab, wasn't it? Right.
You mean Matt Rodriguez's music?
Yes.
Is by far and away the best thing about this show. And I wish that...
skip to the end, hear the music, turn it off. There we go.
I mean, I did actually say that to a friend of mine who doesn't... She doesn't listen to The Archer. So I was like, don't listen to the podcast. Go to like 57 minutes and then press play from there. Don't bother with the rest. It's just about some stupid radio
Brilliant.
Show.
Brilliant. So you're actively encouraging people not to listen to us.
It's fine because you still get the play, don't you? It's probably still
That's
a
true.
Statistic.
That's true. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, Matt is doing us a massive favour.
Talking of Matt, we have a new...
A new
theme this week, which I will. It's a goodie, so I will tell you what it is. Oh no, I'm going to have to tell you now because he's put it in the email. He says, "I'm having trouble getting my head through the door after so many lovely comments from you and Harriet. I am so pleased that you liked it. I thought that
liked
to contrast,
it.
Yes,
loved it.
I thought that to contrast the relative happiness of last week's piece with an Archer's version of the Mastermind theme." You don't even remember what Mastermind is, do you?
Yes, I do. It's still on telly, isn't it?
Oh, well, you keep telling me that you can only remember things that happened last Wednesday, so I can't. I don't know. The original Mastermind theme is appropriately entitled Approaching Menace, which Ooh, makes me think of Hazel or Rob coming back to annoy or terrorise Umbridge as appropriate.
Ooh, yeah. Clever.
So we'll play that at the end. It's very good. It's
I'm just terrifying. Got the count. I've got the countdown theme tune in my head. I can't think of what the mastermind one is, but yeah, looking forward to that menace. Well, it's like, I mean, that's the thing. They basically made out that this week in the Archers was the sink. It's, you know, like they were like, oh, this week. Oh, it's like no one died.
Yeah.
No one even barely went to hospital. You're all fine. There was a cow. Oh, yeah, there was the cow, wasn't there, that had a poorly leg. But I didn't really... Did you really understand what was going on there?
Oh, the bendy cow.
The bendy cow. It's hard to... When it becomes vetty, it becomes quite hard to understand.
Well, our veterinary correspondent, Jen Stevens.
She's been in touch?
Yes.
To explain what happened.
She hasn't been in touch with me. I think venting was more the word. She was on Twitter.
Venting vet.
I think her keyboard's probably bits were flying off it because she was hammering it so hard. She ended up just writing in block capitals, "This is bollocks." So, yes.
More.
She was
bollocks. I mean bollocks.
Apparently, she said it would have to have a cesarean. There's no way that it would be fixed like that.
What I didn't understand.
And she said you'd have to be a 6'6" vet that could bench press like a Ford Cortina to be able to get to do what he did.
I just didn't even understand it. Had the bull fallen down?
It wasn't a bull because it had a lady. It was a baby.
A lady bull.
A lady
had
bull.
The lady cow bull fallen down and that's why it couldn't give birth. Was it like on its back? What happened? And was it to do with the rain? I mean, God knows where the deer was at this point. Also, no one bothered to find the dead deer or anything. There was so much mess that needed to be cleared up from that Sunday episode that wasn't even touched on. But no, what had happened to the cow then?
Sorry, I'm just slightly distracted because from here I can see into the kitchen and William is mopping something up off the floor with an enormous roll of kitchen towel, and I have no idea what it is.
And later, in about 10 minutes, he'll be digging a hole.
Yeah,
and then go out with what looks like a rolled up carpet, burying it.
Okay, I'm just not going to look. Yes, well, the lady cow had a baby cow in it.
Yeah, baby cow.
And the lady cow was out in the horrible mud because
in
of all the rain, where should never have been left in the first place.
They didn't have time to mop it all up.
They didn't have time to mop up the mud. And
It slipped.
It was slipped and it came in and it went down. And if it had... I think it could rupture something and the calf wouldn't have been safe. So they were trying to get it back up again. And in her struggle to get back up again, she popped her hip.
Okay. Anyway, it was all fine. Alistair got the baby out.
And there was some truly, truly horrifying
yucky noises.
Sound effects.
Ew,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It was quite well done, though, I thought.
Mm.
But again, didn't quite have the drama that it perhaps...
No.
You know, like, if you're watching that on All Creatures Great and Small, or, you know, Dr. Finlay or whatever, not that you would watch a cow on Dr. Finlay, but if you're watching it on some sort of... I feel like it should be period drama, because that is sort of the Archer's, you know, like, level almost, isn't it? But it would be really dramatic, and there would be, like, crying and...
Yeah.
There'd be a sort of monologue, not from the cow, obviously, but from...
I kind of got the impression that Pip and Josh were leaning up against the barn wall, both on their phones, and then going, oh, well done, Alistair, and let's go and have a cup of tea.
I felt like it was sort of lacking... There could have been a nice parallel with Ruth and the airbag and the sort of, are we going to lose her? And, you know, Pip could have broken down and been like, anyway, yeah, whatevs. Yeah, it didn't happen.
No.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, back to the emails. Sorry for that very long-winded distraction.
But if you want to know what should have happened, then you need to follow Umbridge Pony Club because she will tell you how it should have been.
And what was a
more realistic way of doing it.
Maybe she could do a little YouTube video for us.
But I think the reason that they didn't do that was because the realistic thing would have been taking
Taking too long.
Taking it elsewhere and doing an elective cesarean rather than you know, fannying around enough.
And the family had already left the farm once.
Yeah, and the takeaway would have gone cold and everything. Yeah, exactly. And it's raining and they're frightened of water because they can't swim. So, you know, they dissolve if they get wet, which is unfortunate, but it's just how it is. So there we go.
Because they grew up in the Land of Oz. That's
yeah. Right, Joshua Yoda, who says...
Oh, yeah.
I'm a listener here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yay,
and I
America.
Wanted to write in and let you know what an absolute joy your podcast is. Blah, blah, blah,
I
blah,
just,
blah,
I
blah,
said
blah,
America
blah,
like no one would have known.
America?
America? That's what someone from the Archers would have said. America?
Where is that? Is that further than Pennyhasset?
It's like when Ruth basically suddenly randomly went, oh, yeah, and Pitt might go off with someone from Iowa. And she went, maybe she'll get an Australian boyfriend. And then she went, oh, Iowa. It was really random. Sorry. Anyway.
Are you sure she was saying, or Iowa, or she just sat on something? Or Iowa. That would be a terrible choice of place for somewhere to someone to be associated with Ruth to live in. Or Nova Scotia, maybe.
It'll all be in the cracker jokes next year, don't worry.
He says he works as a seventh grade teacher in a COVID petri dish of a school.
Wow.
I'm sorry about that, Joshua. Yeah. Sounds awful.
Mine are also at a COVID petri dish at the moment.
Yeah. He said, I was very excited to hear from some of my fellow US listeners, one of which is not too far from me in New Jersey. Please feel free to pass my contact along and I'd be more than happy to help with any US content. I've got to sort all this out, haven't I? People keep saying this like you're going, oh, yes, and then not doing it. But anyway.
The America Club.
Yes.
The American Smooths.
What can we call it?
It has to be something, it has to be like Archers related, doesn't it? The Americans.
Very good.
Really?
Yes. Well, I couldn't think of anything, so yes. he said, I have always dreamed of organising a road trip of American listeners.
Oh my gosh.
I have been told, is the only real Ambridge in the world, which is only a few hours from my home in Philadelphia.
No way!
Yes.
Oh my God.
He says,
this is too much.
Sending love and glad tidings from the home of Rocky, Will Smith, cheesesteaks and the Eagles, pronounced locally like Eagles. P.S. Harriet, if you ever do an album as Jolene, I will buy it immediately and book tickets for the concert.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll be releasing it on the 17th of March and a free copy will be coming your way.
But people remember this shit, you know. You shouldn't just... We'll have emails now on the 17th of March. People go, where is it then? I'm like, oh, shit.
But just back to that American Ambridge. Yes. You know, there was a sort of pitch for an American Archers.
Was there?
So when I was doing some random research into something or other, I ended up finding this, it was basically a pitch of this sort of audio company that wanted to do a radio serial like the Archers, but set in America. I'm going to have to re-find it because it wasn't just some little hicky sort of thing. It was like a big funded idea, I think. Better do my research again and then get back to you because that'll be fun, wouldn't it? If there was an American rival version.
Yes.
They could do that cow story because all they need to do is just nick all the storylines.
Well, they've got enough, haven't they? I mean, they've got like 50 years of it.
And they have like very similar animals in America, you see, apparently. So like they've got cows and chickens.
I had no idea it was so similar.
They have, the only thing is their farms are a lot bigger because there's like more space and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they still say hello, you two? Hi, you two.
Hi, you two.
Right, you are?
Anyway.
That doesn't sound right.
Right, you are.
That doesn't sound right in American.
No, but even the accents are probably close because of the West country accents. That R did go to America, didn't it?
Mm.
Isn't that where the R comes from, Ireland and the West country, doesn't it?
Have you just made that up or is that
no,
a real thing?
Because when I did some work on that John Adams TV show
like
years ago and we had like a voice coach.
Oh.
Basically, it was giving us a really fascinating history into the accent, into American accents, and what how they sort of would have started, you know, so like, you know, like even in Canada, in like Nova Scotia and those bits that are closer to Ireland, they have a very different accent, don't they, that's much more related to Ireland. And that's why, you know, new people in, I think the new, instead of new, we say new, but Americans would say new, and that's apparently from Suffolk that went over to America. They were, it was a really fascinating thing. And if you think about, like, if I ever want to do, I can't really do one very well, but if I'm thinking about doing a Northern Irish accent, for example, I will actually just do an American accent and just think about the intonation a bit. Like, okay. it's a terrible example, but sometimes if you do an American accent, you can get to an English accent. And I actually remember David Archer, aka Tim Bentick, talking on some sort of podcast about how he gets to his Edinburgh accent. No, he gets to his Canadian accent by doing an Edinburgh accent.
Okay.
Very fascinating sort of stuff, Lucy. Anyway, I digress. I'm so sorry, guys. But it's very interesting.
Huh.
And I guess, I guess people in Pennsylvania could tell us more. I'd love to hear more, because it's so interesting how accents change and what we all sounded like, you know, originally. None of us were posh, were we?
No.
We all had like sort of West Country accents, didn't we, in the South? Anyway, if anybody out there is a dialect coach or has any actual facts based around...
Rather than voices, wild supposition.
I've rather gone into a tangent. I literally don't know what I'm talking about.
Beep, beep, beep.
Just feel like I did a job 10 years ago that sort of, I vaguely remember bits of it.
And then you had a dream and you muddled up the two things, I think, as well.
So the director on that actually became a famous movie director. Tom, that famous
Wigglesworth
movie director.
Hiddleston.
Leonard's... Can't remember.
Tom Jones. Tom.
Who was Tom Jones?
Brown body. Tom. And Barbara
Leonard,
Good.
Leonard's son. Anyway, sorry. I keep distracting us from the emails. This is the bit where I should just be sitting back and enjoying.
It's because you haven't got a drink, you see.
It's because I haven't got a drink.
Yeah, you've got one welly. That's all you've got.
I'm overcompensating. Yeah, I'm wearing my wellies.
Welly. Liz Danziger said, The harassment stuff last week confirms what I said about how ignorant the scriptwriters are on the subject of religion. There was no actual mention of Harrison becoming a fully functioning believing Christian, just of him having a baptism he could remember. As for knocking on doors, we're looking at Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. for that, not the flavour C of E embodied by St. Stephen's in Ambridge. I know, that's what was so confusing, that his only frame of reference was people that knock on doors.
Yeah, and it got you cross.
Yes, it did get me cross. You're quite right. And Joanne said, I would actually welcome hearing about Tom some more. And that is saying something because he irks me quite a lot. I know it's only Tuesday, but the more I hear Pip, the more I want to wring her neck. It is not really violent tendencies if I only want to kill someone who's fictional, is it? What an annoying, entitled person she
totally.
Is. How have her parents never once in her entire life told her to shut up and be a decent person for a change?
Oh, exactly.
And by the way, despite what Pip seems to believe, the world doesn't entirely revolve around her. It's totally her parents' fault, I think, and partly Josh's, because he surely had several opportunities to drown her while they were growing up, and he never once
Especially
did
that
it.
Night.
Yeah.
He had more than one opportunity that rainy night on Sunday.
He said there must be water. She said there must be water troughs all over the place on a dairy farm. He could have gotten off scot-free if he'd done it while he was still a small child. Also, am I the only person who was a bit horrified to realise that all of Monday's episode basically revolved around David and Ruth and what they were doing in bed? Everyone
yes!
going in and out of yes! their room all day, bringing them toast in bed and such, and checking on them in bed. Jill getting upset that she wasn't also invited into their room to force feed them soup and lemon drizzle in bed. And then, because that wasn't bad enough, listening to the pair of them snuggling up together and deciding if they're too injured to get frisky in bed together. I know they're all family, but I'm not related to them. And I thought it was all rather TMI that I had to hear so much about what was going on in their bedroom all episode long. Blech. Thank you so much for doing the podcast. It's fantastic. I usually listen to podcasts as I'm putting things away in the evening and getting ready for bed. And your podcast has taught me that it can get messy to laugh out loud while you're brushing your teeth. Joanne Smith. And she says, if any of your other listeners are in New England, please let them know they're not listening alone. I live about an hour north of Boston. Do you know what? I'm going to have to get one of those maps and drawing pins, aren't I? And
I feel like...
like they do when they're trying to work out who the serial killer is and link
Lucy,
everybody
Lucy, I
together.
Feel like nobody in England listens to our podcast. No. should we worry about that?
Well, I think it's just because we're English and we can't be asked. Like, oh, I can't be asked to email them. It's fine. Other people will. Yes, other people will email them. And they do.
But I agree. Why did they? We'd already had Kenton and Jolene having a sex scene.
Yeah.
It was even intolerable to hear Ruth and David try and touch each other while Ruth had a neck brace on.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
And it was like, if you, ow, ooh, just stop it. Stop trying.
But two sex episodes in less than 3 days. Unacceptable.
Sexisodes, they're called.
Oh, just I can't move. My neck's a bit stiff. Your neck's a bit stiff, is it? Oh, have a look at me. Oh, no, David, get it away. Yeah, sorry.
Tonight's one, she said.
It's easy to put Ruth in a sex scene, though, because of her noises.
Because of the voice. Neil Carter as well. Ruth and Neil should get together. They could just...
Oh, yeah. Neil. I said Neil.
Oh, God. It made me laugh this episode when she said...
just a bit of fun, David.
When Ruth said... I'm going to have me collar off this week. And I suddenly had visions of her in a sort of gimp mask thing with a massive, like a spiky collar
on.
Yeah,
she only gave it one mention, didn't she, at the end?
Yes.
Dear.
What a load of pooey this week. But hopefully we can widen it out so we actually hear another family next week. That would be quite nice.
I didn't mind being cozy with the Archers.
It was quite nice by the fire. I like the old...
Yeah.
They haven't got such a good fire as Mr. Newby. Mr. Newby sounds like his feet are alight.
I couldn't hear David's fire.
I could just hear... like that as the...
just spitting fire. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a nice spitty fire, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But
unless that was Jill, I'm not sure.
Oh, don't be mean, because there was actually a bit of spitting
that
last... Yeah.
Okay.
Because when you get a bit close to the mic, obviously probably this podcast is full of yucky spitting, but there was a bit of... quite a lot of mouth noise I felt on the last scene of this week. But anyway, it wouldn't have been so cozy if Leonard hadn't been there.
No.
He absolutely saved the week, didn't he?
Yeah.
He really did.
Yep.
Love him.
He's so
natural.
When have you ever known an Archer's family to get a takeaway?
But also, he's so kind. That's what annoyed me about them not bothering to eat it with him, because they never do kind things for each other. They're so obsessed with themselves and they're so wrapped up in their own little bubbles that they never do kind things. And he did a really generous thing, and
not to mention driving about 40,000 miles in a round trip to go
you can't
to a kebab shop and a Chinese
you'd have to drive to Felbert. It would have been cold, wouldn't it, by the time we got back. Ooh. Then you have to like re-microwave the kebab, and that is not good for your tummy.
No.
But anyway, but Alistair must have been like, oh, it's random. I'm eating a kebab on my own. But, oh, just eat it down the other side of the table. You know, it's just sort of a bit random, but very nice. But no, but he's just so kindly.
Yeah.
And no one does kind things except for Leonard. And he's super generous. And none of those brats even bothered to come and eat it at the same table at him with him. And I found that unacceptable again.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Yep. would you like to hear another Australian noise, by the way?
What sort of noise is it, Lucy?
It's a sex noise.
What? Is it a crow mourning? It's sex.
No, because you frightened children playing that last week.
I know. You know, I was quite happy about that, really.
I know.
Because I felt like we might go up in the sort of rating. Not ratings, but like if we had a bit of like... X-ratedness about us.
What, because we upset small children?
Yeah. What okay. it would mean, Lucy, is this podcast is a bit edgy.
Okay.
Okay? If you're listening with kids, just shut their ears now. There's nothing nice about me and Lucy Freeman.
Two of the world's most middle-class women talking about...
Lucy, what are you talking about? Literally don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God, it's just come.
Little, I said it was little.
No, mine has. Mine, my avocado has just come.
your avocado. My children call it, they still don't know, they call it avocado.
Oh.
Well, you get it from avocado. I mean, that's even more middle class. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Did you order any sushi, Mummy? What is a kebab? Anyway. So no, but actually, I'm really sorry to. I was actually, of course, I was devastated, but also a little bit pleased. But it meant my impression made an impression.
But what was frightening was that she wasn't bothered by the real Clay. She was bothered by you.
I think because obviously it's a very sensitive child with a lot of empathy, and that travelled through the airwaves from my. Acting ability traveled through the airways and got her in the gut.
Yes,
that's why she had to have a cuddle.
Right. Well, you listen to this because you're not. Okay. But this is going to get everybody in the gut. This is
all right. Does it need a PG? Is a
koala up a tree having sex?
Oh my God.
Tom says they're riddled with syphilis or something. I can't remember what he said, but they were deeply
what
unpleasant.
What sort of show is this?
Well, you said you wanted edgy.
God. That's David snoring, isn't it?
I was kind of imagining that was what probably Eddie and Clary sounded like in the sack.
Oh, Eddie! Oh, you know, it really turns me on. Oh. Is that one? That's not a koala.
But that's what he said.
They're cute and cuddly. Oh, God.
I mean, it sounds like a donkey.
Yes.
To me.
Or a pig.
But he's marked it koala.
I'm gonna look this up on YouTube separately. Koala having sex.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe that's a koala. They're so tiny. Yeah. All right, Lucy.
I like it. I might have it as my ringtone. Only for certain people.
Don't play it from your bedroom.
When you ring me, I'll have that as my ringtone.
Hang on. Oh, here we go. Hang on. I can't hear the noise. Oh. Yeah, they do have a sort of duck noise. That is weird. That's a revelation.
Right. Well, sorry, small child, if you've now run screaming from the room yet again.
Oh, yeah. Well, have we done all the emails?
We have.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you so much for your emails.
Thank you.
I enjoy those. And usually I don't talk. I usually just enjoy sitting back and relaxing, but I haven't got a drink to relax with.
Right. As you've wandered off, I'll do this bit. And now let's tune in to BBC Radio Borsetshire and have a listen to Fabrizi's Drive Time Show.
BBC Radio Borsetshire. Has he got a jingle?
Yeah.
Radio Borsetshire. I did not know it was his parking space. Now I am a presenter, I do not see why I cannot have my own. Why does this Colin have his own parking space anyway? He only does the weathers. He says, look out of the window, it is raining, and for this he gets his own space. Don't make a wave at me or I will wave back at... Oh, this light. Hello, hello, welcome to Drive Time with Fabrizio Felbrisham, who always looks like he has just stepped out of the salon, because he has. This week I am doing an BOB, which stands for Broadcasting Outside, I went to Ambridge to see some rewilding. No, I don't know either. Radio Borsetshire. Well, here I am in a field, but am I alone? Not at all. I am here with Krusty Miller in her conversation area, who has come to tell me about all nature and mud.
Mud is good, Febreze. It's all part of the biodiversity mosaic.
Ha ha, you are very funny. Mud is very good for the skin, but only if you are in a nice white dressing gown and it is on your face in a controlled way, not when it is just sitting everywhere and in your shoes.
I don't think loafers were a great choice, to be honest.
No? Well, pardon me for not taking fashion advice from someone who looks like a tent in boots.
This is proper wet weather gear, Febreze.
Nonsense. Wet weather gear is an umbrella. I have one from Christian Lacroix. Look.
Ow!
Oh, anyway, tell me about what you are doing this place, which is all sort of khaki.
It's been rewilded, returned to its natural state and allowed to grow wild.
Oh, I have some customers like that. So that is why there are all these little birds hopping about. Like this little one here, singing his head off.
Tit.
Okay, whistling his head off then, whatever they do. But there are very many creatures, and I can see a snail and some rabbit drippings and a... Ah! Krusty!
Get down, you're too heavy. It's just a cow.
It is not. It is like an angry bungalow.
It's a longhorn.
They are bulls.
Calm down. They're longhorn bullock. They're very placid. They're grazing.
Well, I am not going to stand here and be grazed by bullocks with the horn and be smelling all that smell. What is that?
Compost loos from the campsite. It's a form of recycling.
Oh, I don't think so. Recycling is when I put out my sushi boxes in a nice clean bag for the big men to take away. Not doing a pee-pee on some eggshells. And where would you keep your Andrex wipes and your diptyque? Anyway, thank you very much for letting me come and visit, Krusty. Maybe in a few months' time we can come back and visit you again when it is finished and all clean and tidy.
You haven't got this at all, have you?
No. So, there we are. Thank to Krusty Miller for my lovely look at her straggly bits. And that is all from Febreze of Felpersham for this week. But before I go, a big hello to little Declan from the sofa workshop. Although he pretends he does not work there anymore, but I see him sometimes hiding by the bins. Naughty shy Declan. Bye-bye. Be good. And if you cannot be good, be fabulous. Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. This week, we need to thank the following Patreons for their support.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, hang on. Woo! Okay, guys.
Oh, someone said, could you tune your guitar this week, please?
So rude. It's because it lives in the shed, so it untunes naturally every week. They're cold. Hang on. That'll do. Here we go. I'm a bit nervous about this. Gina, 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 Gina. Ooh. Hang on. Can you do the ooh?
No.
Ooh. Can you do that bit? Hang on. Ooh. Okay, I'll just try it. Gina, 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 Gina. Ooh. Ooh. Hang on.
Key change, key change.
Penny, 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 penny. Ooh. Hang on. I have to take my headphones off. Hang on. Sorry, I'm starting again. Gina, 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 Gina. Ooh. Oh, fuck it. Gina, 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 Gina. Ooh. Penny, 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 penny. Ooh. Joshua, Joshua. Joanna, John, Joanna, Joanna. Jessica, Jessica, Jessica. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. I'm so glad it's only Americans that listen to this show. I actually... she practiced it earlier and it worked, but obviously doing it live, Lucy, is I didn't have a footstool.
No.
I didn't have a chance to like warm up my voice.
No backing singers. No,
no backing. I was hoping that you would do the ooh, and no. But to Gina, Penny, Joshua, Joanna, Jessica, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yes, you have our heartfelt thanks and sympathies for that. Anyway, apart from our undying love, Patreons also get access to freebies and stuff. If you visit patreon.com and look up, well, you get a voice message. Every Patreon is allowed a voice message.
Oh, yes.
So, if you've got a birthday coming up or possibly even Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you can have Mr. Newbie.
Yeah, you can have Febreze, can wish you a zhuzh. Nobody wants me.
All the Archers women.
Yeah.
Except for Jill.
And Fallon.
No, Fallon I can do.
No, you can't.
Oh, yeah, she just sounds like a sort of Jolene, but younger. Yeah, Arison, she sounds just... Yeah, I can work
with
her.
Why have I never written a Fallon then?
Yeah, I did used to do Fallon.
Did
you? I did like Fallon and Jolene at X Factor once, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, Arison, yeah, she's a bit like that, isn't she? Yeah. Yeah, I can do Fallon. I'm not like very good at Fallon.
Okay.
But yeah, if I listen to her, then I don't know, she's actually a bit like that, isn't she? Like, oh, Kenton, a bit. It sounds a bit like Jolene, but that's fine. Anyway, you probably wouldn't want Fallon.
No, who'd want Fallon? Actually, want Fallon? Lots of people would want Fallon for their Valentine's Day.
But then actually,
Day.
Maybe my Fallon voice isn't the most authentic.
No, I tell you who the best Valentine's Day voice is.
Oh, yeah?
Elizabeth.
David. Yeah, Roy. Yeah, because she's got that sort of sexy little voice going on, hasn't she?
So there you go. If you and obviously, the only thing that we can offer... well... Yes, I suppose if you are a lady what wants to give a message to a man or a lady what wants to give a message to a lady, then we've got lots of ladies. We're a bit stuck on the man front. But
Mr. Newbie.
Or Febreze. So
or Febreze.
If you're in a gay relationship, I would imagine that Febreze would be spot on. But you know, I don't know.
Maybe like Henry?
Henry?
Henry could do a voice.
Yeah, not a gay Valentine's message, though, I don't think. That wouldn't be appropriate.
Would it be a bit inappropriate?
I think so. It's just a feeling, you know, just a feeling.
I think any Valentine's message might be a bit inappropriate if Henry... Anyway, Henry probably sounds older than that now. It'd have to be Rosie. Yeah. Anyway, have a think about it, guys.
Yeah. Just basically no children. Just no children. Anyway, yes. Or you can give us a review and we will also love you.
Thank you. Oh, we really would love you. Oh, because I've got a little challenging myself here, Lucy. I had a look at our ratings and half of them are still rating your walkie-talkie dog podcast.
Dogcast. Dogcast. Oh, no, we've had loads since then.
No, I know we've had... People have been so generous and they're so lovely. They write us really brilliant 5-star reviews. But we need to get more reviews because reviews means prizes, Lucy. It means you go up in the... what's the word? Accessibility.
Rankings.
Rankings. Yeah, up in the rankings and therefore more visibility. So you get more people finding your show, and we want be great to have more of you. Thanks. And I suggested to Lucy that we just have a little like fun February challenge and we try and get like 500 5-star reviews for February. Yay.
Yay.
It was going to be 50 or 500. So
and being mad, you opted for 500.
Yeah, because you can review more than once.
Oh.
I'm not suggesting people do review us more than once.
Under false names.
Because it's a pain in the bum, isn't
it?
To have doing those reviews. But any reviews are super welcome. And I'm going to try and get all my friends and family to do it.
Okay.
We want to be in the...
Nikki!
Because, Lucy, we were in the charts, apparently.
I know.
Me and Lucy don't know anything about...
No, nothing.
Analytics, no, charts, no. Reviews. We are clueless about all this stuff. But a very kind friend sent a picture of us in the charts.
Yes.
Like we're on Top of the Pops or something.
Yes. Dave Lee Travis is jumping around with some inappropriately young girls in front of us. Brilliant.
We weren't number one in the charts, so we didn't get to perform live, but we were in the charts, which means that everyone in America must listen to us. Three people in Australia and everyone in America.
Yeah, and they all email us all the time.
And also, we'd love to know if anybody from other countries listens to us.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it be cool to have someone in Asia or Greenland or give me another country, Lucy. Give me another country. Costa Rica.
Isle of Wight.
Oh, yeah, I love the Isle of Wight. So any other countries out there, give us a big shout out. Can't hear you. Can't. No, I really can't.
It's because they're not there.
Because they're not listening.
You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter at onambridge, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And thank you so much for listening and your support. And oh, hang on, sorry, there is a script. Hang on, I was just ad-libbing.
No, that's right. All you have to say is, so that's it. Thank you so much for listening and have a lovely week.
We've got to the end already.
Yes, but we've got to play the theme tune. That's
very
exciting.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, good. And I'm going to listen live, but I'm going to shut my mouth. So, yeah, because it was annoying hearing me come over Pride and Prejudice. It's a nightmare. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening and have a lovely week.
This is the world's scariest theme tune. It's really good. You ready?
Yeah. God.
It's a dystopian nightmare of Ambridge.
Linda would have loved that for her passion.
Wouldn't she?
Oh my God, that would have been amazing. Yeah, it's really scary.
It is.
Really scary, but it works so well.
Yeah. Oh God!
It just gets back in cheer.
Oh dear.
Maybe this, yeah, because we could put that with the mournful crow.
Oh.
And scare
when we do
people.
A Halloween one.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's only
nine months. We've got 10 months. Well, there's no way we're going to remember either.
What are we going to do for our Valentine's one? Oh.
Well, I know what we're doing for the sketch.
Oh, I say, she's very organised.
But I haven't got... Well, maybe people could email us in with Valentine's messages for me or Harriet or Febreze or Mr. Newbie or any of the characters on The Archers.
Yes, that, and also any, because you know we had those lovely ladies who got married.
Yes.
So any other love stories related to The Archers, like, you know, like meeting your partner through listening to The Archers, or just some random coincidence.
Or if you got divorced, because they wouldn't shut up when you were trying to listen to The Archers.
Something sweet and romantic like that.
Yeah.
However tenuous it may be.
Yeah. We're all about the tenuous
stories.
On this show. All
love
about it.
Tenuous tenor lady. But yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? Any sort of like Archer's theme, even if maybe it could even just be, you know, country, farm love stories or something. I don't know. Anything vaguely
related. Did you fall
related?
In love with a tractor or anything?
Not if you've had sex with a bull.
No.
Nothing like that. We won't read out the really dirty ones.
No.
But some of the quite dirty ones we might.
Yeah.
Because we do want a bit more X rating on this show. Oh,
well, apparently we do. Who knew? Apparently so.
But that would be good, wouldn't it? It'd be like a feature. Like with a Radio 4 Saturday morning show. Lucy.
Yes, yes.
Because you know what I like on, you know, that Saturday Live?
Yes.
With Reverend Richard Coles?
Yes.
When they do the thank yous.
I don't listen. What
do you
what they
listen?
Say thank yous.
Oh, Oh, so you missed Ben Archer.
Yes. Who did they say thank you
to? He was fascinating.
Oh, really?
Not only fascinating, just very, very listenable and very cool.
Ah.
He's a poet. He used to be a semi-professional athlete.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a very, very interesting guy. It was a really good interview. But anyway, they do this really nice feature where basically you write in to thank someone who's done you a sort of act of kindness who you didn't know, like, you know, you were in a road traffic accident and someone kind came and helped you, and you sort of do a and then, you know, you go off in the ambulance, you never see them again, but you do a, you know, or somebody helped, you know, there was a lovely one about a bus driver who helped a woman get flowers so she could meet her mom. It was all very sweet. Yeah, it's nice. So I'm not suggesting we steal that necessarily.
We could borrow it.
Anything's sort of sweet and nice stories.
Yeah, just
good, aren't
send
they?
Us some emails. I think that's what she's trying to say. Just email us
emails.
About anything, really.
Can you just do all, a bit like Kenton and Jolene asking their customers to just do the evening. Can you just do all of
me
our
Me and
content?
Harriet would just sit on our arses.
Because it's February soon and I'm going to be drinking. Yay!
Yay!
Also, I forgot to say, what happened to the Ben and Josh Beth love triangle?
Oh, yeah.
There was 1 week where Josh fancied Beth, and now that's not happening anymore.
But Beth sort of put the kibosh on it, didn't it? She...
Well, only by saying, he's my boyfriend.
Only Jill had done that, but then we'd have lost an entire episode, wouldn't we?
Made me
no,
remember.
I think she put the kibosh on it, but I can't remember how. I think she was quite casily assertive.
Yeah, okay, assertive she was.
And
okay.
Put the mockers on it.
Okay, just checking.
Mm.
It might come back to haunt us.
Mm.
When Ben's doing all those long night shifts and Beth's feeling the cold.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's depressing. It's been a bit of a rude show this week, hasn't it?
I know.
Lots
that's
of bed.
I know. There's been two. That's what. Yes.
Too beddy.
Too beddy. Too beddy.
Too beddy. Yeah, too noisy. Too beddy.
It's January. Soon they'll be out again in the fields and they'll be romping in the hay again.
Is this David and Ruth that we're talking about? Or...
I hope not. No, it's going to be Ruth and Stella, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What I loved about the Sunday night and the catastrophe was. Or everyone in the world was like, Ruth is definitely dead.
Yeah.
And then all the sort of, you were like, so it leaves the way for David and Stella. Other people are like, well, obviously now, you know, like, what's going to happen to the Ruth? It was like, everyone.
It was like a sort of joyous morning. Yes!
It was. The excitement was infectious, wasn't it? And it was like, all the scenarios, now Ruth is dead. And then it was, and all, now Ruth
what do you
is
mean
dead,
a stiff neck?
Pip's dead.
What?
Yeah. I've got a bandage on. Oh, no. We were like, no.
Someone on Twitter said, very seriously and very disgruntledly, she could at least have been in a coma.
That was... that's exactly what I thought. They could have given us 3 days.
Yeah.
Just keep the tension going a bit longer, guys. I mean...
Especially as when the music started again on the Monday, when the music finished... She was the first person to talk. And you were like, oh, you are a love bugger.
Surely the first. I mean, obviously there are logistical...
You could have had Pips under there talking, saying, do you think she'll pull through?
Yes.
And then it turns out they're talking about a cow or something. That could,
Totally. That me and you would have written that. But even the deer, I was like, oh, the deer, that's very vague. They're not sure it's a deer.
No.
So it obviously isn't a deer. So it must be a child. And nobody's even bothered looking for Rosie. And then Jill was like, oh, I'm just going to take Rosie to nursery. And I was like, no, God. God's sake. Or Alice. Couldn't it have been Alice? Or even Chris. Not Martha. But anyway. Oh, Lucy, are you all right now?
Yes.
Are you still ill?
The doctor says I'm getting better.
Oh, you've got a bit of long COVID.
I have.
Oh, that's annoying.
That's all right. It will go.
You sound much better though.
Yes, I feel much, much better.
Good, good. And you've had your eyelashes curled.
And I've had my eyelashes curled, yes.
We talked about VPLs, didn't we?
No, we're LVLs, you idiot.
And you really sold it to me. And you're like, yeah, they look amazing. I don't look tired. And then you're like, and now I've got two black eyes.
I haven't got black eyes. They just feel like I've got black eyes. But anyway, you're a big baby about having eye things.
I am not having anyone touch my eyes.
Yes, yes. No.
No, only insert Archer's character. I'm too tired to think of one that is tall, alluring. Harrison. Harrison can touch them.
You would let Harrison touch your eyes?
I would, actually. He's the only one I fancy.
I wouldn't let
even
Harrison
he's annoying
anywhere near because he'd sort of...
with his clumsy big hands.
Yeah, exactly. He'd go and hiccup and have your eye out and you'd be blind.
Oh, did it get your eye out?
I wasn't expecting me bleeper to go off so loudly. It made me jump.
Oh, did my truncheon get you? Oh, got you in the wrong place, didn't it? This is the dirty show.
Dirty.
You got a big truncheon. That's me trying to do a Fallon impression, not succeeding.
Right, the bit after the theme tune has now gone on for longer than the bit before the theme tune.
Sorry. Yeah, but they love the... Who was it, like, the encore?
Steve Parrott.
He switches off after the after Matt's encore.
I bet he's regretting that now.
I didn't want another encore. Shut up. That's what I was saying to Pip this week. Shut up. And that's what people are now saying to this podcast. Shut up. I didn't want this downloaded. I end up listening to podcasts just because they download without me knowing that they're going to download. And then you're like, oh, I can't be bothered to press stop. So I'll just listen to it anyway.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
You listen sometimes to things you don't want to listen to because you can't be bothered to press
sometimes
stop.
Sometimes any talking is better than no talking, isn't it?
That's
if you're
true,
on a boring walk to the tube.
Yeah, unless it's front row, then that's no.
Oh, what? I like that. Ooh. Well, it's too long now.
It's too long.
Far too long.
Yeah. And it's always about obscure things that I'm not interested in, I'm never going to see. And I don't care.
Oh, what, like stuff at the Nash?
Yeah. Or Marvel films and trying to pretend that, you know... They're all going to be, you know.
Down with the kids.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Right, are we done?
Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to
apologize. Okay, you go and bathe your eyelashes and I'll go and find someone else to talk to me.
Go wake one of your children up. Anyway.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.